בסדר הקבלה, the Miri's work on Jewish history, and we were up to Rebbe, otherwise known as Rabbeinu HaKadosh, our holy teacher. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Zeki ben Me'aviv and Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. He received his tradition from his father Rabbi Shimon and from the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. The Rabbi's manot zorot gerot mitpashtot, and Rebbe witnessed in his day how great sorrows were spreading. Calamities were happening to the Jewish people, the Talmidim itmatin, and there were less and less students. And so he compiled the work of the Mishnah with five orders, as is well known. Orders, the five sedarim of Mishnah. Six orders. Thank you. Bekuv nun shana achar churban. Now he dates it. He says you want to know it when it was compiled, 150 years after the destruction of the temple. So now we have to sit down and do the math. Meaning the first generation, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, saw the destruction. The third generation is Rabbi Akiva. His disciples are the fourth generation, and the very next generation is Rebbe. So 150 years, he calls it five generations. It's not really, it's really three generations. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his disciples, Rabbi Kiva, his disciples, then you're by Rebbe. So you could call that three, you could call that four, we wouldn't call it five. Call it five.
No, what's the logic?
Just saying, it's 150 years, and there's a lot of overlap. So people... The people we know about, on the surface, it seems they lived a long life. We know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived 120 years, so that helps. He saw Hillel 100 years before the destruction, and he was Nasi after the destruction.
Hillel was Nasi after the destruction?
Hillel lived 100 years before the destruction. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw Hillel. He was Hillel's disciple. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who saw Hillel, who lived 100 years before the destruction, was the Nasi after the destruction. Now, he wasn't 1 year old when he saw Hillel. So you could say Hillel lived up to 80 years before the destruction, 75 years before the destruction. So at 75 years before the destruction, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to have been in his, let's say, 20s. We'll say he's a young prodigy. He's a teenager. But he's a brilliant teenager, and he's learning by Hillel. So you say, okay, by the time of the destruction, he was 100 years old. That works. And then he ruled us for 20 years after the destruction. Whatever. I'm saying, you got to say something along those lines. Now the Mishnah encompasses all of the oral law. He didn't say that. He said all that was accepted on tradition in the oral law. Meaning, one of the things we haven't yet discussed that the Miri doesn't spend too much time on, but Rav Shira Gaon does, and the Rambam does, and that is the potential for the oral law to expand. Meaning there's the oral law that was given over, and then there are the rules which you could use to derive answers for new questions. So what Rebbe compiled, he's very careful. He doesn't say he compiled all of the oral law into the Mishnah, because that would be inaccurate. The oral law still has potential to expand. But what he compiled was all of the oral law that they had on tradition at that date. From the oral law that explains the Torah and the mitzvot. So you tell me, why does he add those words? Maybe he's alluding to the idea that Kabbalah is not in the Mishnah. Meaning the secret philosophies that our sages hid in the Midrashim, that's not in the Mishnah. The closest you get to it is Pirkei Avos. So he says, the oral law that interprets the Torah and the mitzvah. And he's coming to the exclusion of something. What's he excluding? So I'm suggesting maybe he's alluding to the idea that the Kabbalistic concepts you won't find in the Mishnah. Including all the new innovations, each generation, what they figured out in the Torah. And that refers to the concepts that we just discussed. That there are questions that were not dealt with in earlier generations, and each generation has their capacity to deal with those questions. So he took all the traditions that the different rabbis had, and he put it all together, and we have, for example, Tractate Eduyos, which was all the Mishnais that were taught in the day that Rav Lozer ben Azaria became the Nasi and they opened the gates to the academy. Ukmosh amu b'sofer yodin, as the Talmud says in the end of Horios, lidush lan mar be'uktzin. We find that they already had tractates. They were referring to tractate eduyos. They were referring to tractate uktzin. They said to the nasi, "We want to learn uktzin today." So you see, they had tractates before Rebbe came to the scene. It's not like Rebbe invented the whole idea of Masechtot and he just took a whole bunch of information and organized it. No, it was organized. They had tractates. It wasn't organized into six orders. It wasn't organized into shas, shisha starim. But there was an organized system out there. Hein ma shelo matzum sudarum v'sidro mitchila benom seder mishnato. And he also took the oral law that was not organized, meaning there were just random quotes aside from the organized part of the oral law, there were also random quotes that he put in order in his Mishnah. And then there are the things that he himself added. He was the chief rabbi, he had the court of his day. And just like every generation, his generation also had their innovations in the oral law. They had their twist, their understanding. So that too is encompassed in the Mishnah. And that brings us to the period of Mamurad. Now that we've learned about Rebbe, so after Rebbe, we enter the period of Rebbe's disciples, Rav, Rav Chia, and that already brings us to the period of Namoran. And that's where we'll pick up, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow night.
So what about Breitot? If you didn't put it in?